Now, scientists have known over the past quarter century or so that there's some water on the moon. This week it came out that there's maybe more up there than we thought. In a paper published in the journal Nature Astronomy, scientists said they found traces of water in this one crater using a NASA aircraft. The big thing, it's in a sunny spot, not in the polar areas where it's darker and colder. That's where ice has been found in previous years. So what does the new discovery mean? How could it affect plans to explore the lunar surface someday? Jeff Faust is a senior staff writer at Space News. He writes about space policy, commercial space, and related topics. Jeff, welcome to Central Time.
Great to be on the show. Thank you.
Jeff, there was some water or ice water on the moon. How big a deal is this new discovery, though?
Well, this is an interesting discovery because they didn't expect to see ice where they found it in this crater called Clavius. And the reason for that is that it's in the sun, and the sun is on the moon and that part of the moon for 2 weeks out of every month. So it gets very hot. The water should evaporate, but they still see it. And so that's a little bit surprising.
Does it give us indications of how much water could potentially be on the moon, whether it's on the surface or below?
Yeah, the water they detected there, it's only in trace amounts. If you took about a cubic yard of lunar soil, there'd be about enough water for at most a 12-ounce bottle of water. So there's not a lot of water, and it's not clear how easy it would be for any future astronauts to extract that water from the soil. But it is a potential resource for any sort of future missions there.
Right. As I understand it, this water, not only is it, there's not a lot of it, it's in little bubbles of glass, in effect. Do I have that right?
Yeah, it's in basically these glass beads that get created when meteorites hit the moon. And so it melts it, you create these little glass beads, and trapped inside the glass beads is water. So you'd have to actually melt those glass beads again to get the water out. And you might imagine that would be a bit of a challenge.
Is there any notion, you know, previously we thought, okay, if we wanted to do anything on the moon, if we want water there, and we would, if we want humans there, we'd have to pack it in with us, whether it's, you know, spread out like this or on those polar areas where we have more ice. Is there a thought that there's actually enough to do to make a difference?
Yeah, the big advantage of using the water that's on the moon is that you don't have to bring it with you. And water tends to be fairly heavy, and that tends to be very expensive to get to the moon. So any sort of resources you can use on the moon will save you a lot of weight and a lot of money to get there. And the polar regions are of particular interest because it looks like there may be large ice deposits in some of those craters, particularly at the south pole of the moon. And NASA has a number of robotic missions coming up to actually go to those regions and basically do prospecting, do some drilling into the lunar soil in those regions, see what form that water ice is in, how much of it is there, and how easy it would be to extract for any sort of future human missions there.
Jeff, there are a lot of different possible space missions for NASA and other national governments and private groups, things like that. Where does the concept of putting humans back on the moon stand on people's priority list right now?
It's really a top priority for NASA right now. NASA has the goal of returning humans to the moon in 4 years, by the end of 2024. And they're working on the various aspects of that program, the rockets, the spacecraft, the landers that would carry astronauts down to the surface to make that possible. It's a challenge. You know, you have all sorts of technical issues. You also have budget issues to make that possible. But the agency is pretty confident that if they can overcome those technical challenges and if Congress comes through with the funding, you could have astronauts there, say, at the South Pole of the moon in about 4 years.
Apart from the symbolic value, how much more do we get out of having astronauts presumably doing research on the surface of the moon as opposed to sending more drones and probes?
Yeah, I mean, robots can do a lot of great science, but humans are a lot more capable than even the best robots that we have today. They also tend to be a little bit more creative. When a robot runs into a problem, you have ground controllers spending days or weeks trying to fix it. You know, an astronaut can take care of it in a very short period of time. So there's a lot of advantages of having people there. It's just sort of a cost-benefit analysis. Is the benefit worth the additional cost of sending astronauts there? And you know, NASA has argued that is the case, and that's the approach that they're taking right now.
Now, water does a lot of stuff for us humans, but also for the geology of Earth or the lunology, I guess, of the moon. I don't know. How much of a thought is there that there's enough water that, you know, it affected the life course of the moon, the rocks and the stratification and the chemistry and things like that.
Yeah, we really need to go there and see what form that water is in and how it has interacted with the rocks and soil to see if it has had any sort of geologic impact. We don't think right now that it has sort of the same sort of effect we've seen on the Earth, where water has, you know, created canyons and, you know, created sedimentary rocks and things like that. We don't think that's the case on the moon, but we won't know for certain until we get there. You know, one of the things that we've learned from decades of space exploration is that we tend to be surprised. Any sort of place we go, we tend to find things that we did not expect.
Well, hey, closer to Earth, the Halloween coming up, and we're going to have a fairly rare full moon hitting the country in plain view, and it's a blue moon. So it's a good opportunity. We won't see the water from here, but it's a good shot at seeing a full moon.
Yeah, it's a blue moon. Of course, a blue moon is just the second full moon in a month. About every couple of years or so, we have a month where we have two full moons. The second one's called the blue moon, and this year it happens to be in Halloween, and it will be the last blue moon in Halloween for a couple of decades. So it's always a good time to take a look at the moon, but Halloween will be a especially good chance to do so.
That makes me think, Jeff, this crater that they spotted this trace amount of water in, is this something that somebody with, I don't know, a home, you know, hobby telescope, could they spot that crater? Again, they won't see the water from here, I assume, but could they spot the crater that NASA identified here?
Yeah, they won't see the water, but they can see the crater Clavius. It's a particularly large crater on the moon. So anyone with even a small telescope or a good set of binoculars, you know, should be able to see it, particularly on a full moon like we'll have on Halloween.
That's cool. Jeff, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Jeff Faust, a senior staff writer at Space News. We talked to him about new research that confirmed evidence of more water and ice on the surface of the moon, maybe more than we thought, and in places we didn't expect to find it.